Hi, it's Dave. Welcome to a live stream. I'm going to go ahead and do a live reaction and analysis on Tesla's Q2 2021 shareholder letter that will be coming out in just several minutes. Want to welcome you to the live stream for all those who are joining in live here. I'm going to do a few things here new in this live stream. First, we've got the stock quote ticker right here in the corner, and I'm going to be showing that ticker just so you could see, you know, the market reaction going into close, but also during the release of the shareholder letter, what happens, how that affects the stock price in aftermarket hours. Now, we've got a couple other things going on. First, I want to share with you guys actually when this shareholder letter comes out. Okay, so actually, let's go ahead. Sorry about that there. Let's make it a little bigger. Okay, so the shareholder letter for the past 5 quarters, it comes out after market close, but if you notice, last quarter is at 4:11 Eastern, so 11 minutes after. Then you had 17 minutes after, 7, 7, and 5. So my guess is it's going to come out probably about 5 to 10 minutes after market close. We'll have the shareholder letter. The shareholder letter, if you want to follow along, can be found at ir.tesla.com. And you can go ahead and you can madly refresh this site like 100 times, like the rest of the Tesla world is doing at the same time. And then right here, you'll see the link under shareholder deck. There'll be a download. And you'll be able to download the PDF at the same time everyone else does. And then you also have a webcast with Q&A. So this will start, I think, 2:30 p.m. Pacific time, so about an hour and a half from now. I'll go ahead for the earnings call. I won't stream the earnings call. Tesla does a great job. I think they have a YouTube channel now. But what I will do is after the earnings call, I'll share kind of my top 5 or 10 takeaways right after the earnings call to give you guys an idea of what I'm kind of gathering from the earnings call. All right, so here's what I want to do here is I want to share kind of my strategy on how I am going to be evaluating the earnings call. And if the earnings call comes out, if we notice, market just closed about less than a minute ago, we are at $657. For Tesla stock, it's up $14 for the day. All right, so here's my strategy in evaluating the earnings call. So this is last quarter's earnings call. And I'm going to show you kind of my strategy and what I'm going to be doing this quarter. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to quickly, when the shareholder earnings letters comes out, I'm going to look at this profitability. Let me go ahead and so I'm going to quickly look at this profitability section here. I'm going to be looking to see what they're, you know, reporting in terms of GAAP profit, non-GAAP profit, etc. I'll look at their cash position and also their operations very, very quickly. The second thing what I'll do is I'll run over to this financial summary page right here, and I will go ahead and plug in these numbers into my numbers or my Excel kind of numbers spreadsheet here. And I have the exact same layout as Tesla does. And I call this a cheat sheet because it helps me to kind of plug in the numbers. You know, I have my expectations, my estimates in the green column. I'll plug in the light blue column, what the actual numbers are. I have some in the red column, some range predictions. So, you know, that will be what I do there. And then after that, I'll go ahead to this page called Outlook. I'll look at the guidance that Tesla gives to see if they have any new guidance for 2021 or even beyond. And then the fourth thing what I'll do is I'll go ahead and I'll go to their finances down here, statement of operations. I'm going to be looking at the Tesla Energy and Tesla Services. I'm going to be looking at their revenue and cost of revenues. I just want to make sure that, you know, it's within the ballpark of my expectations of how much, you know, revenue and cost of revenues is accrues. And then lastly, I'll go ahead and I'll check out this last section. It's this reconciliation of GAAP to non-GAAP. And there's this important section where it calculates the adjusted EBITDA number for Tesla non-GAAP. And what this means is you take earnings, but you basically take pull out interest, taxes, depreciation, and amortization. And here for non-GAAP, you also take out stock-based compensation. And then you get an adjusted EBITDA number. If you look at this number, we had 950, 1.2 billion, 1.8 billion, 1.8 billion, 1.8 billion. So the past three quarters were stuck at 1.8 billion. I'm going to be looking at this to see if Tesla's EBITDA numbers have increased this last quarter. I think that could be an interesting possible stock catalyst for Tesla. So that's going to be kind of the five takeaways that I'm going to be doing really quickly in the first maybe 10 minutes of the earnings shareholder read. And then what I'll do is I'll go ahead and for the rest of the time, I'll take my time. Okay, so that's the gist of the numbers. The rest of the time, I'll go ahead and go through the summary. I'll kind of read through the different, explanations that they give for their different markets. And I'll just kind of reflect and kind of share how I am processing the information. That will take probably a good number, 30 minutes or so. And we'll look through the pictures and kind of just reflect the whole thing. So I expect the live stream to be about an hour, but the gist of it in the beginning will be about 10 minutes, I'm thinking, hopefully. I'll go through the first five kind of key metrics, and then I'll review the whole shareholder letter, share some overall thoughts as well. All right. If the shareholder letter comes out, please go ahead and massively and madly just ping me on the live chat, and I'll kind of look at this occasionally, and I will go ahead and pay attention to that. All right. So I want to go ahead and as we wait for earnings, kind of reflect on the bigger picture. And the bigger picture being, why is quarterly earnings important? Or kind of what do we look for, in quarterly earnings? For me personally, I mean, everyone could be different, but for me, quarterly earnings is really important because it shows actually someone said this out, but I don't know if it's true. Yep, okay, so we have people saying that the shareholder letter is out. Okay, so I'm refreshing here. Sometimes my refreshing doesn't pull out the, okay, so we're up 672. We're up, oh, there it is. Okay, we're up $16 in the aftermarket if you look at the stock quote. Okay, Q2 2021 updates. So we are going to go through the five metrics first. So first, let's look at its profitability. So we got $1.3 billion in GAAP operating income. Okay, $1.1 billion in net GAAP net income. This is crazy. Let's figure out what's going on. $1.6 billion in non-GAAP net income, excluding stock-based compensation in Q2, 28% GAAP. Okay, so this is pretty interesting stuff. To give you some context, my numbers was I was expecting $1.2 billion in non-GAAP profit. So Tesla has exceeded even my numbers, which were very high according to, compared to a lot of other people. Okay, let's look at cash here. Operating cash flow less CapEx is $619 million. Net debt and finance lease repayments are $1.6 billion. So they're repaying debt. And then you have about $912 billion decrease in our cash and cash equivalents to $16 billion. So that's all fine. Operations, you have record vehicle production and deliveries. We knew that. Successful launch of full self-driving subscriptions and started delivering the new Model S to customers. All right. Looks good so far. Let's plug in the numbers, figure out what's going on here. Okay, so we're going to go ahead and I'm going to go back and forth here. So we have $10.2 billion of revenue, $354 million of regulatory credit, so less than I expected. Automotive gross margin of $2.899 billion, more than I expected, and auto gross margin of 24%. So let's plug in these numbers here. So for auto revenue, we've got $10.206 billion. Regulatory credits $354, and then auto gross profits we got $2,899. Okay, so Tesla had higher automotive revenue than I expected, a lower regulatory credits, which is fine because that's always a guesswork. Higher automotive gross profits, right, and overall gross profit as well. And so, yeah, Tesla killed it. It nailed this revenue and gross profit figure right now. That's pretty impressive. All right, let's go to the next section here. Next section here is total revenues and then total gross profit. So total revenue is about $12 billion. Total gross profit is 2.8. And total GAAP gross profit is 24.1%. Now, this is pretty impressive here. So let's go ahead and put in these numbers here, much higher than I expected, actually. I was expecting 11.3 billion total revenues, but we had 11.1958 total revenues. For total gap or total gross profit, 2.884 billion. That leaves us with a 24.1% gross gap gross margin. So much higher than expected revenue, about 650 million more, and better gross margin. So overall, we're tracking very well here with the cheat sheet. All right, let's take operating expenses here. Operating expenses of 1.572. That was pretty much right in line with how I came about it. Income 1.3, and then operating margins 11%. These are very strong operating margins. These are the strongest Tesla's ever had. Let's fill it in. 1.572, right along my estimates. Income from operations is 1.312. That just smashed, you know, my expectations. I mean, it was within my range, but at the very top of my gap range that I was expecting. All right. So what do we got from here? We can go ahead and we could go ahead, go back here. We have net income gap 1.14 and net income for non-gap is 1.6. So let's go ahead and fill that in here. So 1142 for gap and then 1616. All right. So that basically just demolished. Yeah, it demolished my my expectations. So I had gap net income of range of 500 to 900 million, and they came in at 1.1 billion. And then you have non-gap. I was expecting 1 billion to 1.5, and they came at $1.6 billion. So Tesla is doing some pretty interesting stuff here for this quarter. Super impressed. Okay, so that was the cheat sheet. Let's look at the outlook now. Let's see if Tesla's is giving any additional outlook for their future, which is super critical. So here's the outlook page. Okay, so he says, we plan to grow our manufacturing capacity as quickly as possible, 50% average annual growth in vehicle deliveries. Now, this is what, you know, they've said for quite a while. In some years, we may go faster. This will depend on our equipment capacity, operational efficiency, the capacity and stability of the supply chain. So Tesla has not revised guidance. This is just their template, you know, boilerplate explanation of guidance, which is good. I like it when they kind of give conservative guidance. Okay, cash. We have sufficient liquidity, and that's fine. You know, they don't have to say anything else. That's great. Profit. We expect operating margins will continue to grow over time, continuing to reach industry-leading levels with capacity expansion and localization plans underway. So this is, again, a general, you know, thing saying we're going to grow our operating margins. If you look at what's going on here, Tesla is really growing their operating margins. So this is the key line here. Q3 2020, 9%, 5%, 9%, and 11%. This 11% is with a lower regulatory credit number too. So it's actually more impressive than even last quarter. Okay, and then we go into product, and they say, we believe we remain on track to build our first Model Y vehicles in Berlin and Austin in 2021. This is fantastic news. The pace of respective production ramps will be influenced by the successful introduction of many new product and manufacturing technologies, ongoing supply chain related challenges, and regional permitting. To better focus on these factories and due to the limited availability of battery cells and global supply chain challenges, we have shifted the launch of the semi-truck program to 2022. We are also making progress on the industrialization of Cybertruck, which is currently planned for Austin production subsequent to Model Y. So this is interesting. First, they're saying they're going to push off semi to 2022. Okay. That's one thing. Next is they're doing Cybertruck after Model Y, they're saying. So they're kind of pushing off Cybertruck, in my opinion. It's a nuanced language. And then second, they're hedging. They're saying basically there's a ton of different factors with, you know, the limited availability of battery cells. So they're saying, hey, 4680 might not ramp. Global supply challenges are still in effect. So we might not basically be able to ramp super fast. So they're hedging their guidance over here. So, okay, that's mixed results there, but it's fine. Okay. Aftermarket right now, Tesla's at $667 or so, about up about $10. It's a kind of a muted response. I'm interested overall, I mean, we have blowout GAAP numbers and blowout non-GAAP numbers here. And I'm going to be interested to see how investors actually, you know, parse this, see if there's what kind of negatives they can really cherry pick out of here. Okay, let's go ahead. And I want to take a look at the fourth thing. The fourth thing, which is I want to look at the exact kind of revenue figures for Tesla Energy and for Tesla services. So let's go ahead. And if you see here, we have Tesla, we have energy and services here. So if you go here, energy was a big, interesting. Energy was a big jump and services was modest, right? 951. So we got a big jump from energy, almost, you know, up probably like a good 70% there. And then we go to cost of revenues. Here we have cost of revenues for services and, or actually for services and or energy and services. So we go to energy and services. Energy is 781 and services is 986. So, hey, pretty impressive here. So what we have here is $800 billion came in for energy and they actually made $20 million because the cost of revenue was 781, right? So I think the solar roof kind of tightening of costs, et cetera, has helped stop the bleeding. And then you have services, which came in almost at break even. So 950 versus 986, that's almost break even. Before last quarter, look at this. They had 893 million in services and 962 in services for the cost. So they were losing actually 70 million. Now they're close to almost at break even. So this is actually positive news for Tesla here. I think overall the big story is you have this big jump in auto sales, right? You're going from 8.7 billion to 9.8 plus leasing, $10.2 billion. If you look at my numbers here, I had it pegged at $9.8 billion. And I think this shows a few things. One is Tesla's able to kind of upcharge for full self-driving, but for used cars, for example, they had a robust used car market and they were able to sell like a lot of higher trim cars. Probably Model S and X helped as well, right, in the mix. Super impressive stuff here. All right, let's go ahead and I want to check out the fifth thing. Okay, so we looked at the first Tesla summary, second, their outlook. We looked at the cheat sheet. We looked at the energy and service revenue and cost of goods. And then we're going to look at this last section here. The reconciliation between GAAP and non-GAAP. Now, this is pretty crucial here. So, we're looking for adjusted EBITDA, right? I'm going to undo that. Adjusted EBITDA numbers right here. Okay. So I want to find out if Tesla is really ramping up their EBITDA numbers. So let's look at what's going on here. So they actually give it back way back to 2018 here. They're doing the trailing 12 months. So this is actually, let's go up here. Rather than the trailing 12 months, let's do this quarter's adjusted EBITDA. So what we have here is we have the $1.142 billion in GAAP profit. We're going to now take away interest expense, right? So that's $75 million. Provision for income taxes, $115 million. Depreciation, amortization, and impairment, which is $681 million. Now, this is going to include... it's probably actually going to include Bitcoin, but because there's going to be probably $110 million charge on that. Stock-based compensation, $474. That was almost exactly in line with the thinking I was having. And then you have adjusted EBITDA of 2.4. Now, this is what I'm talking about. So if you look at here, you have 1.8, 1.85, 1.4. So the past three quarters, we've been stuck with the non-GAAP adjusted EBITDA numbers. Now we have our first quarter that's a breakout quarter. $2.5 billion in EBITDA. So what does this mean? You know, just at an annual run rate of EBITDA numbers times this by four, right? Tesla is pretty much at a $10 billion per year EBITDA run rate, which is fantastic. This is historic. Let's look at the trailing 12 months of EBITDA. So if you look here, we were at $1.4 billion, right? Trailing 12 months. We're currently at $8 billion trailing 12 months, but the run rate is already at $10 billion. And this is without Austin and without Berlin. So why is this important? Sometimes P/E ratios don't give adequate kind of valuation metric or framework to really know how to value growth companies, especially tech companies. EBITDA or enterprise value over EBITDA, this multiple isn't perfect either. There are downsides, but it could provide a different angle. And, you know, hey, give Tesla between 50 and 100 multiple off of this current EBITDA number, right? Or even if you forecast the EBITDA number for the next year, you know, I would imagine this would be at least 15 to 20 billion for next year, if not more. But give, you know, a healthy multiple off of that, you have a different way to value Tesla, and you can have some more a deeper appreciation of kind of, you know, the dynamics behind how investors could be evaluating Tesla. All right, let's go ahead and look at the stock price. Stock price is $6.63, so the stock price is only up $6, and it's interesting. What's going on here? I'd love to hear your feedback in the live chat here. We have Tesla has killed the EBITDA, right? They've killed the GAAP and non-GAAP. The stock is barely moving at all. We'd love to know what you think the explanation is. Okay, so we're going to go ahead and we're going to dive deeper into this shareholder letter for the rest of this earnings, for the rest of this live call. You feel free to, you know, check out now, because I'm just going to take my time and go through the whole shareholder letter, paragraph by paragraph. After the earnings call, which is at 2:30 p.m. today, I'm going to be sharing my top 5 or 10 highlights from the actual earnings call. So you can go ahead, again, go to ir.tesla.com and you can listen to the earnings call. They also have a YouTube channel that Tesla's been broadcasting that earnings call as well lately. Okay, so go ahead. Let me read a few of these comments here. So, sorry, I had the wrong screen. 30 minutes of the wrong screen. Are you serious? Sorry about that. I must have not shown the screen for the EBITDA numbers. Oh man, that's terrible. Sorry guys. Let me go. Okay, that was actually pretty important stuff. But I'll just go show you guys where the screens were for the EBITDA numbers, okay? So here is the screen for the EBITDA, basically, which is 25, page 25 of 28. You'll see that they're already at $2.5 billion in EBITDA for this quarter, $10 billion run rate. The other thing is you can look at the page 26 of 28, and you'll see that, you know, they have the past trailing months. So we're at $8 billion past trailing months already. Okay, all right. Okay, awesome. I'm going to go ahead and go through each of the paragraphs of the shareholder letter. And then we'll go ahead. I'm just going to kind of chill out for a bit, and maybe we'll find some clues and on some different maybe pros and cons of this shareholder letter. All right, so in the second quarter of 2021, we broke new and notable records. We produced and delivered over 200,000 vehicles, achieved an operating margin of 11%, and exceeded $1 billion of GAAP net income for the first time in our history. Yeah, exactly, record profits. Here's the thing, Tesla, you know, a few years ago, I was like, it's going to be a cash cow. And the big question mark is Tesla has to execute toward that, right? They have to realize their potential. And in my opinion, Tesla is doing that. That's what's exciting about this earnings call, especially. Supply chain challenges, in particular global semiconductor shortages and port congestion, continue to be present in Q2. The Tesla team, excluding supply chain and software development and our factories, worked extremely hard to keep production running as close to full capacity as possible. With global vehicle demand at record levels, component supply will have a strong influence on the rate of our delivery growth for the rest of the year. All right, so Tesla's saying they're at the mercy of their supply chain, right? There's still some supply chain shortages and difficulties, and most of their deliveries, production levels are going to be determined by supply chain. Interesting. All right, we successfully launched Tesla Vision in Q2, which was mainly possible due to our ability to use data from over a million Tesla vehicles to source a large, diverse, and accurate data set. Solving full autonomy is a difficult engineering challenge, which we continue to believe can only be solved through the collection of large real-world data sets and cutting-edge AI. All right, so we did have, you know, the transition to Tesla Vision with Navigate and Autopilot, but also with version 9 beta going out to some testers. All right, public sentiment and support for electric vehicles seems to be at a never-before-seen inflection point. We continue to work hard to drive down costs and increase our rate of production to make electric vehicles accessible to as many people as possible. All right, Yeah, it does seem. A lot of manufacturers are getting onto the train, right? They're realizing that they might be left out if they don't make big investments. All right, revenue. So we had total revenue grow 98% year over year in Q2. This was primarily achieved through substantial growth in vehicle deliveries as well as growth in other parts of the business. At the same time, vehicle ASP, or average sales price, declined by 2% year over year as Model S and X deliveries were reduced in Q2 due to product updates, and as lower ASP, average sales price, in China made vehicles became a larger percent of our mix. Okay, that's fine. Basically, revenue grew a ton. And ASP, average sales price, declined a bit. Profitability. So our operating income improved in Q2 compared to the same period last year to $1.3 billion, resulting in 11% operating margin. The profit level was reached while incurring stock-based compensation expense attributable to the 2018 CEO award of $176 million in Q2, driven by a new operation milestone becoming profitable. If you aren't familiar with this, Tesla has CEO compensation plan. It was, booking over $300 million in expenses for the past few quarters. But this quarter, it's dropped to $176 million. So that's one of the reasons why we see actually a bigger gap profit. Operating income increased year over year, mainly due to volume growth and cost reduction. So that's what I want to hear, right? Increasing revenue, decreasing costs. Positive impacts were partially offset by growth in operating expenses, including increased stock-based compensation, Model S and X ramp, negative margin in Q2. So this is pretty interesting. Negative margin, this means when they start ramping S and X, now their margins are going to increase for S and X, right? And it's going to actually help their overall margins. Right now, it's hurting their overall margins. Additional supply chain costs, lower regulatory credit revenue. Yes, we know that. Bitcoin impairment of $23 million and other items. Very interesting. So Bitcoin, my goodness. They had an impairment of only $23 million, right? All my calculations, I was thinking at least, $100 million. They must have done something where they did some more trading or something where they didn't realize as much impairment. Or they, I don't know, did they sell any Bitcoin? Did they make any money off of this? There's some question marks I have on how they're able to eke out just a $23 million loss in Bitcoin, because Bitcoin dropped under probably the lowest purchase price of about 31,000, and it dropped down to about 28,000. So there's, it's an interesting story. I need more clarification on this number here. Okay, let's go ahead and go to cash. Quarter end cash and cash equivalents decreased to $16 billion in Q2, driven mainly by net debt and finance lease repayments of $1.6 billion, partially offset by free cash flow of $600 million. So Tesla is getting free cash flow, but they're using a lot of money actually to repay debt. And they have actually, I think it's a 2025 bond convertible debt that they're going to repay in Q3 as well. So Tesla's employing a strategy where they're basically stripping their balance sheet of most of their debt right now. This will reduce their quarterly interest payments, which I think will be overall good for Tesla. Okay, so we went over this. Actually, we didn't do this page. Operational summary. So you basically had, Model S and X production just started this quarter. Once we get it up to 15, 20,000 per quarter, we're going to start to see some significant boost in Tesla's revenue and margins. Total production, 206,000. We know that number already. Delivery numbers, this already came out. And then we have storage deployed. So storage deployed was less than Q1. We know that there is a power-walled kind of chip shortage that's kind of holding up things. Store and service locations were similar, supercharger stations, etc. Okay. Vehicle capacity. Now, this will tell us, kind of give a good glimpse on Tesla's, plans ahead a bit on how they're going to be expanding and how fast. Global demand continues to be robust. We are producing at the limits of available parts supply. Again, second emphasis on parts, right? The supply chain is going to determine how many cars Tesla can produce and sell. While we saw ongoing semiconductor supply challenges in Q2, we were able to further grow our production. All right, California and Texas. Production ramp of Model S progressed over the course of Q2, and we expect it will continue to increase the rest of the year. Given strong U.S. demand, the majority of all Model 3 and Y production was delivered in North America. Build-out of Gigafactory Texas continued to progress in Q2, with commissioning having begun in some areas of the factory. So, they're already testing out some parts of production in the Austin factory. All right, Shanghai, while we experience minor interruptions due to supply chain challenges. Okay, so we know there's been some interruptions. The production in Shanghai has been a little bit bumpy this past quarter. And the factory upgrades production in Shanghai remains strong. Per our planned roadmap, we recently introduced a standard range version of Model Y. So this is the killer product in China, right? It starts at 276,000 of won post incentives. Due to strong U.S. demand and global average cost optimization, we have completed the transition of Giga Shanghai as the primary vehicle export hub. So they're using Giga Factory Shanghai as this export hub to Europe and other parts of Asia. And so this allows Tesla this flexibility to send cars to other regions. And we know the cost structure in Shanghai is fantastic. All right. Europe, Berlin, Brandenburg. So while our global production lines continue to run as fast as possible, European demand remains well above supply, resulting in growing wait times for delivery. We continue installing equipment, have begun testing tools, and are working as quickly as possible toward starting production in Berlin while growing import volumes in the interim. All right, so this to me sounds a bit vague. It's not saying that they're really confident that production is going to start in 2021. It sounds a little bit like they'll try, but you know, we'll see, right? There's a lot of regulations and stuff. All right, current capacity. Sam says solar storage almost tripled. Okay, so yeah, I missed more kilowatt installed. Okay, so yeah, that's definitely an issue or thing here. Let's look at this solar. Oh, storage. Okay, sorry. Yeah, storage deployed had tripled. So it's going back to close to Q4. So we know these quarterly like inflections, like they're so hard to predict because, you know, but we know that overall the trend is going up, right? With especially with storage deployed. Okay, so let's look at annual installed capacity. We have Model S and X at 100,000 capacity. Model 3, 500,000. This is all in Fremont. So we're at 600,000. We have Shanghai at 450,000. And then Berlin will do Model Y. Texas will do Model Y in Shanghai. And then we'll, so check this out here. So Texas, Model Y is under construction, which is means they're doing it. Cybertruck is under development, which is a later phase. So this, in my opinion, is signaling, it's a nuanced signal that Cybertruck is going to come out a bit later than people expect. I'm not expecting Cybertruck in this quarter. I'm expecting now, this is complete, just random, you know, guessing, but I'm expecting very limited numbers in Q1, right? Ramping in Q2 and Q3 of next year. Just my personal opinion off of these nuanced, very, very nuanced, you know, things here. To be determined, Tesla Semi is booted to 2022, right? They don't have the cells needed. Roadster and then future product, which is probably the Gen 4 $25,000 car. All right. And so here's the market share per region. If you notice, Tesla has a ton of room to go. A lot of people think that Tesla is like an EV company. The reality is that Tesla is, you know, tackling these auto markets, which are much bigger than just EVs, right? They're tackling, you know, each market is their market, right? So whether it's the luxury, like sports sedan market or luxury, like entry sports SUV market, they're going to move down to bigger and bigger markets. Tesla isn't an EV play. Tesla really is a transport play. And they have the best of class vehicles in every class that they go into. This is something I think that's missed very often. All right, let's look at core technology here. Autopilot and full self-driving FSD. After selling over a million vehicles equipped with radar, we have collected enough data to start removing it in some regions. The removal of radar, which is enabled by our collection of vast data set of corner cases, allows us to focus on vision and increase the pace of improvement. Our first customers downloaded version 9 beta in July, prompting strong feedback from current users. All right, removal of radar, Tesla's highlighting as an important thing. I do agree. How many, you know, car manufacturers are removing radar from their car because they're saying, you know, we've progressed past radar, right? This is pretty amazing. Vehicle software. Our team has demonstrated an unparalleled ability to react quickly and mitigate disruptions to manufacturing caused by semiconductor shortages. Our electrical and firmware engineering teams remain hard at work designing, developing, and validating 19 new variants of controllers in response to ongoing semiconductor shortages. So here's Tesla kind of showing their engineering prowess. They're saying that they're designing, developing, and validating 19 new variants of various like controllers, right? We're talking about chip controllers, controlling various parts of the car, so they could navigate this global semiconductor shortage. Amazing stuff that Tesla is doing in the background here. All right, battery and powertrain. We have successfully validated performance and lifetime of our 4680 cells produced at our Cato facility in California. All right, so this is good news. They've successfully validated performance and lifetime. So they've done their whole suite of testing on 4680 cells. They're not just safe, right? They're also, they last a long time. We are nearing the end of production manufacturing validation at Cato. So now we're talking about the manufacturing process, right? All of the robots trying to make sure everything is produced in quality and quantity. Field quality and yield are at viable levels. Okay, so not bad. So they're chugging along. And our focus now is on improving the 10% of the manufacturing processes that currently bottleneck production output. While substantial progress has been made, we still have work ahead of us before we can achieve volume production. Okay, so they've got work ahead. So they're signaling that there could be some delays, possibly. Internal crash testing of our structural pack architecture with a single piece front casting has been successful. All right, lot to unpack here. So on the good news side, Tesla is finished with validating, right, performance and safety, lifetime, you know, of their battery cells, like how long their battery cells, the cycles, right, all that. So the cells are good, right? So that's good news. They are manufacturing at a, you know, at a slow pace, but there's a lot of bottlenecks in the manufacturing process, they're saying, and they need to focus on that. And they've got a lot of work ahead to achieve volume production. So this is an ongoing project. This is super complex. The biggest risk factor here is that it could impact the start of Austin and Berlin, but not just that, impact the ramping, right, of Austin and Berlin. There could be other manufacturers, you know, like CATL, and others, Panasonic, et cetera, making 4680 cells, providing, you know, kind of a good chunk of those cells to get Austin and Berlin started. Maybe Tesla pitches in as well, but this full production ramp, right, is going to take some time. Hopefully in 2022, we'll see what's going on. All right, so this is a view from the vehicle cameras. We got various views. Tesla is stitching all this together, right, into kind of like a bird's eye view. It's amazing. And yeah, here's the stitching together of the views, which are incredible. All right, let's go ahead. And other highlights. So energy storage here. Energy storage deployments more than tripled year over year in Q2, driven mainly by recognition of several megapack projects. Energy storage deployments can vary meaningful quarter to quarter, depending on the timing of specific project milestones. Powerwall remained exceptionally popular as deployments nearly doubled year over year, and energy storage production continues to be held back by supply chain challenges as our backlog remains strong. All right, so Tesla, the story of Tesla here is energy storage is growing. It's just they're cell limited, right? It just isn't a huge priority when you can make actually greater profits by selling cars. Think about it. Like, you have a certain number of cells, and you put them into cars, the markup and the margins are extremely high compared to if you sell a Powerwall, right? I mean, the revenue is just a lot lower. So yeah, Tesla's doing the right thing. They just need to ramp up more cells. This is the story of Tesla Energy. Solar retrofit and solar roof. Solar deployments reached 85 megawatts in Q2, more than tripling year over year. Additionally, cash loan solar deployments more than quadrupled year over year. Solar roof deployments grew substantially both year over year as well as sequentially in Q2. Thus far, our solar plus storage product remains very popular, and we continue to improve efficiency of our install crews. All right, so a few things here is solar roof they're saying it's growing year over year, but you know, yeah, I mean, if you look at the numbers, well, actually, we already did. But yeah, I mean, solar is not the most exciting thing right now in Tesla's lineup. They have some challenges with the solar roof. We'll see, you know. I mean, I think to me, this is a long-term play. I'm not sure how much Tesla's going to be making off of solar in terms of profits long-term. I think it could grow into a substantial business. It just probably will be an ancillary, like a supporting business and a service, actually, to build up the Tesla ecosystem larger. Okay, services and others. Gross margin of services and other businesses reached nearly break-even in Q2. Like I pointed out when we looked at the whole, you know, financial overview, which is important, the best result in 4 years. Yes, you know, that was very important. This improvement was driven mainly by strong performance in used vehicles, as well as our continued focus on cost efficiency. Yeah, interesting. Tesla is saying that they have had good efficiency and used car sales. All right. So we went over Outlook here. We'll go ahead and go through some photos here. Gigafactory Berlin. So here's the Model Y factory in construction. It's interesting, Tesla is pushing off Model 3 production in Berlin because A, they're saying, hey, we might just ship it out of, Shanghai. We've got that. We're going to focus on Model Y because we think Model Y is the big winner, right, in Europe for the time being. Yeah, this factory looks great. I mean, a lot of regulatory hurdles here. Here's the paint shop, right? This is the next gen paint shop that Tesla, Elon has been referring to for quite a while. All right. Here's Texas. Texas 6 months ago. Yeah, I was there actually, probably about less than 6 months ago, maybe about 3 or 4 months ago. I took some drone footage. It looked a little bit more, developed than this, but it did not look like this. I left Texas probably a month and a half ago to be traveling. And so, yeah, Tesla's making great progress. I think Austin is definitely going to be the first factory to be producing Model Ys, mostly because of the regulations, et cetera, the permits. All right, Gigafactory, Texas stamping press. So here you have this huge stamping press. This is actually huge. Wow. I've shared on Twitter that if you're a Tesla vehicle owner, you can actually take a Fremont tour. They've had it on hold now because of COVID for a while, but they plan to restart in a few months. Highly, highly suggest taking a tour of Fremont factory and seeing the process, seeing these stamps, stamping press. I mean, actually, this is huge. This seems so much bigger than Fremont's stamping press. But you can kind of get in context what the whole process is all about. Here's the Gigafactory Texas Model Y body shop. Again, you have a bunch of robots down the line, right, making, welding all this stuff. Hopefully, it'll be a lot more simpler with the structural body battery pack. All right, here's Model Y factory construction. Here you got some factory workers. Gigafactory Shanghai. The expansion continues. Okay, so it's interesting. Like, back in the day, you just had Fremont. Now you have Fremont. Then you have three more factories. So you have Shanghai, Austin, and Berlin. So now Tesla's making four factories. Like, this is, the story of a company that's executing well, who has robust demand for a product that's far superior than other products in its category. And to see this progress is awesome. And think about it, in 5 years, we're going to have a bunch more factories, right? And new product lines. And as long as Tesla can maintain and grow, right, their competitive advantage, which is, I think, their superiority in overall just ecosystem, product excellence, right? Everything about, right, Tesla, owning a Tesla is better than other cars, generally speaking. All right, we have key metrics here. Vehicle deliveries, they're going up quarter over quarter. So we're at 200,000 right now. This will continue to trend up, especially with Austin and Berlin. Okay, here's operating cash flow here. And here we have the blue is operating cash flow, the red is free cash flow. This is generally the past couple quarters a little bit lower, but in terms of cash flow, they're still very healthy. All of this is in the positive. You have net income going up big time, adjusted EBITDA, right, going big time up. And we talked about this before, right? Tesla's at $2.5 billion in quarterly EBITDA, non-GAAP adjusted. This is fantastic news, I think, for those who are following. All right, trailing 12 months, vehicle deliveries, you can see it a little bit more dramatized, or you can see what's happening a little bit better. Also, the same thing, it's kind of more normalized in a sense. So you have cash flows going up, and you have net income and EBITDA just going up significantly as well. We went through this first financial statement by going through kind of, this is the same thing as my cheat sheet that I shared, except for it has a few more things. But overall, fantastic. If you look at here, net income, we were at 46 cents. Basic 39 cents diluted. We're up to 1.18 and $1, diluted, which is great. The cash balance sheet, we're at $16 billion. So Tesla has a ton of cash still. They're paying off a lot of their debt. We have healthy cash flows here. And then here's the reconciliation. We looked at the EBITDA numbers and looking at the GAAP. And that's pretty much, the gist of Tesla's Q4 or Q2 2022 earnings numbers. So yeah, I think overall, when I look at this, actually, let's take a look at the stock price here. So the stock price is stuck at $665. I actually kind of like this setup here. If you think about it, Tesla has just reported record profits, right? Record operating margin, record GAAP profits, record non-GAAP profits. Fantastic quarter overall. I'm not really seeing much, you know, to pick at here. I think Tesla really blew it out of the water. It actually, you know, Tesla actually surpassed my expectations. If you look at just these numbers here, the revenues were higher than I expected. Operating expenses in line, income was higher, their gross margin figures were higher than I expected. Overall, they're ramping up profitability and even their EBITDA numbers. Tesla is becoming a stronger and stronger profit machine, cash cow. This is kind of the hidden story, I think, of Tesla, whereas people think they're distracted by a lot of the stories out there that, oh, Tesla can't make money or Tesla's overvalued, etc. But if you look at the underlining story of what's happening, Tesla has amazing operating leverage. The operating expenses will not grow as fast as revenue, and that will allow them to grow actually their margins and their net income much, much faster. We're going to start to see, I think, more and more of this show up in their quarterly earnings, as long as Tesla can produce and deliver cars, right? Because, you know, Tesla highlighted a few times supply chain, part shortages. This is probably the number one risk kind of short term, which Tesla might not be able to produce all the cars they want to because there just aren't enough parts in the supply chain, or there's some key parts that are missing. The second big risk we saw in this was the 4680 cells that Tesla is still experiencing some issues of, you know, ramping these cells or getting the rate of production up higher. And so this will be an ongoing challenge. It's probably just super complex. Tesla's, you know, all in, heads in on this, heads down. And this is going to be an issue because, A, you know, they need the cells to ramp next year. Berlin starting on time is going to be a risk factor because of, you know, the permits and all that stuff. But you have Austin, you know, coming online, which should mitigate some of that risk. Overall, though, we're looking at probably a very strong Q3 and Q4. Tesla's demand is super strong. They can sell every car they want. They're going to have high margins. Model S and X is going to start to ramp, adding to the revenue and margin figure. Next year, you have the addition of Austin and Berlin, and you're going to start to see even a faster growth with all this stuff. The big question, of course, for all investors is going to be the whole valuation question. What is a fair valuation for Tesla? What kind, how do I personally value, right, the company? Is it cheap? Is it moderately priced? Is it expensive, et cetera? How do I see the growth of Tesla, you know, in the next few years? And how do investors, especially big money investors, how do they evaluate, right, Tesla? In my opinion, I think a lot of it kind of goes back down to this whole EBITDA kind of numbers that we talked about. If Tesla can actually ramp these EBITDA numbers quickly, which I think they might be able to over the next few quarters, I think you might see investors catch on to this. I don't see a lot of people talking about this. All right, hope this has been helpful for you guys. And if it has, go ahead, like and subscribe. And what I'll go ahead and do is after the earnings conference call, so I'll go ahead and take you to the earnings conference call for a second here. So here, go to ir.tesla.com. You'll start to see here is where you can go ahead. You can download the shareholder letter here. You can go ahead and listen to the Q&A webcast. I believe they're on Twitter. They're on YouTube as well. So you go ahead. You have lots of options on there. There's also a Q&A here. So you can go to saytechnologies.com, and you can go ahead and check out some of the questions that people have asked, and it's interesting. They've actually put it anonymous for, you know, up until just right now or this morning, actually, and you can see who actually has asked the question. So Rob has got the first two questions. Congrats. And then Jay S, Emmett Peppers, Jason S, Shallon Kyle, Ashwin. Yeah, so the plan is actually tomorrow I'm planning to talk with Rob Maurer, actually from Tesla Daily. I love Rob, man. I mean, he's like one of those guys where after earnings, I just love to chat with him because I'm like, hey, you know, let's talk about it. Let's figure out, like, you know, the pros and cons of different things. And I like his balanced approach. He's able to see things long-term and see what's bullish, but also see what could be some type of maybe more short-term and midterm risk factors. And so that's what we'll be doing in a call tomorrow, going over kind of Q2 earnings, sharing, you know, from different angles. I think it's going to be a great time. But anyways, hope this has been helpful. And yeah, we'll go ahead and I'll post another video going over the earnings call after the earnings call is done, talking about my top 5 or 10 highlights. All right, best of luck to everyone. Again, last summary is Tesla is currently at $6.63, up $6 after hours. Kind of a muted response to a record breakout earnings by Tesla, completely surprised or blew out expectations in terms of revenue, gross margin, operating income. And I'm excited to see what Tesla management is going to share in their earnings call. They're going to clear up some issues, some concerns. I think, this is going to be interesting for Tesla stock in the next coming months. All right, good luck to everyone. We'll see you guys in my next video. Thanks.